When you came in tonight, hopefully you grabbed an outline that was printed. It kind of made my night tonight when I was in practice. And may I show? I came in and Carissa was in the front row and she was getting ready. And I saw her putting her outline in. What she has done is she has collected all of her outlines since she has been here. And she has filled those in. And man, that made my heart leap. And I can't wait to this to go on eBay. And you're gonna have to go deep if you're gonna beat me. If you're gonna try to snipe me, you gotta go pretty deep. Cause I want this. This is amazing. So, that's why we give you the outlines. What a cool thing! Thank you, Chris. You made my day. That was amazing. Yeah. Anybody who takes some of our video footage and makes full-length movie, that would beat Carissa. So anybody, go right ahead. I would look forward to that. All right. I think I have already watched probably a little bit more by the time I wrote this line probably on Wednesday. So I think I've watched over a half a dozen of the Hallmark Christmas movies. Yeah, I think I've watched over a half a dozen, and it's amazing. It hasn't even gotten to Thanksgiving yet. I've already been watching these. You know, it's amazing. Thanksgiving is an amazingly, amazingly overlooked holiday, isn't it? But as I say every year, Thanksgiving is by far one of my major favorite holidays because of what it does. And I believe it is probably the most helpful and it's the most instructive holiday that we have on our calendar. Did you ever notice that most holidays are noun holidays? Holidays that were given a noun to explain what it is. So, for instance, the country's independence, the first day of the new year, All Hallows Eve, Jesus' birth, noun, right? The birth of Jesus, Jesus' resurrection. All nouns, holidays, except for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a verb holiday, and it calls us to give thanks, calls us to be grateful for something, and I think that's something that we are supposed to do. We are to be thankful, be grateful in creating that holiday. That was the whole impetus of it. Although Thanksgiving is often overlooked today and looked past, I saw Christmas stuff out before Halloween. This holiday was created in an incredibly wise way to have us focus, to have an event that focuses us. And that's how it was originated, setting aside a time of bountiful harvest, commemorating God's promise, his promise to provide, which he did, remembering the promise to care for, which he did, remembering the promise to sustain, which he did. Isn't it amazing that in God's providence, he singled out this verb as the only one that we should have Remembrance Day for. And I believe he is right for doing it. Thankfulness. Every year we are reminded to give thanks to God and be grateful for all that he has done to provide for us, to care for us, and to sustain us. And I am sure that God truly appreciates the thankful attitudes and expressions that are commemorated that day, Thanksgiving, at our Thanksgiving tables. But if we want to truly get our hands around the concept of thankfulness, we need to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Because then we will see that thankfulness is not just a once-a-year, one-day event. It is much more enveloping, much more inclusive. It is more than a day. It's much more than that. It's about having a mindset of thankfulness for all that God has done, what he's going to do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 instructs us. Here it is, pretty simple, pretty short. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Lord, show me your will. Show me your will. This is my will. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, sometimes the Bible can seem incredibly difficult to live out, even impossible. And if you heard how inclusive that verse was, look at what it's saying. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. So God's will is for me to give thanks to Him in all situations. Is that right? Does that mean when I back into a car in the Walmart parking lot, I am to give thanks to God for that? How about when my taxes are raised 20%? Am I supposed to give God thanks for that? Or how about when my heart gets broken? Loneliness sets in. Am I supposed to give thanks for that to God? Many think that Thanksgiving is a time of the year that we are all supposed to thank God for just the good that He has done for us. I mean, that's what the pilgrims did, right? That's what they did. They were thanking God for the good. But what about those of us going through hard times? I saw people answer Ms. Kelly's questions. People going through hard times. What about those of us who don't feel cheery? What do we do about this verse? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, a careful look at this verse will reveal something very important. Notice the small but very informative preposition that is used here. The verse does not say, it doesn't say, thank God for all circumstances. It doesn't say that. It says, thank Him in all circumstances. Now, R.T. Kendall, in his book, Just Give Thanks, points out that thanking God for everything and thanking God in everything, they're not exactly the same thing. It's easy to thank God for something when all things work together for good, but that kind of thanksgiving makes it tough to thank God for calamity or to thank God for disaster, thank God for tragedy. You will notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it instructs us to thank God in everything. Westbridge, this verse is saying, no matter how bad a situation gets, I still have something to be thankful for. And I believe that if we walk through three simple action steps, we will learn how to thank God in all circumstances and therefore fulfill the will of the Lord. And we will see that we will indeed have enormous reason to be thankful to God no matter what we are facing. Let me give you step one. Here you go. You want to do this? Here's how we do it. Past thanks. You know, my days as a firefighter are over. I spent 30 years fighting fires, and there was a fire officer for 30 years running a fire engine. My days at the firehouse were so big in my life, I could never explain the full experience if I tried to you. But sharing highlights, sharing moments that impacted my life forever, well, that's easy for me to do. And I remember one night coming back to our dormitory after a medical call. Medical call came in about 1 a.m., and the call was for a person who was in their last hours of life. So we packaged the patient and got them ready to go on the ambulance to head to the hospital. But the whole time we were doing this, the family members and the patient, they had gathered around, these family members, and they were trying to raise the spirits of their soon-to-be departed. And they kept sharing stories and sharing memories and good things that they had gone through together over and over, one by one. They would go right around the room, just keep talking to their loved one. Remember this? Remember that? This is, I always remember this. And they would go on and on, one by one, one after another. They just kept giving thanks for these moments in their lives that they had with their loved one. I heard it all. I got back on my fire engine, and I went back to the firehouse, and I went to the dormitory after writing my report, and I laid in my cot thinking about my life. You see, I have always, since I was a young boy, I've always kind of set certain mile markers that I wanted to get to in my life, things that I wanted to achieve, things I wanted to experience in my life, and they were out there. I just didn't know if I'd get to them. Because I grew up in the church, I grew up as a church kid, I always asked God to please allow me to get to those mile markers in my life. One was very silly, I guess. My father had a motorcycle when I was little, and I loved when he would take us for rides on the motorcycle. He used to stand on the curb, and he would go, take my older brother, and then take my middle brother, and then he'd take me, and I would wait for your ride. And I was just a little guy, and I ate that up. And I remember when my father sold his motorcycle, he gave me his helmet. And I put that helmet on a dresser in my bedroom. It was staring at the bed, the helmet. I stared at that helmet forever, dreaming of that mile marker. One day, I'd love to be able to ride a motorcycle and be able to get to that. And I asked God to help me get to that mile marker. And that's one of the things I thought of that night. Silly, right? I thought of that. I've had about 100 motorcycles since then. And the newness never goes away, and that's never stopped being special. Another was when I actually got word that I was on the list to become a fireman. Oh, Lord, please let me get there. Let me get on that. Let me get that career. Let me establish that career. And he allowed that to happen. And then the one that came not long after that, God said in my heart that I really wanted to be a pastor. I wanted to be able to teach the Bible and do that. Could you please let me get there, Lord? Could that be a moment in my life that I actually get to? Well, I laid there at night, very unable to sleep, thinking of how God had allowed me so many of the big dreams in my life. But that night I realized that he had brought so much more, so many blessings, if I really thought about it, so many little things that I had taken for granted. And that night God seemed to bring them all to my recollection. Incredible motorcycle rides that I've went on with different people. My children, having children, and the way they laugh, and the trips and the memories we have of holidays. Each and every friend that I have made here at Westbridge. Good health that God has allowed me to have. Busting a gut laughing. I like laughing more than anything. And I remember the many times cracking up to where I couldn't breathe, just laughing so hard. And I thought about the home that we built for ourselves, even for Warren County, and for the incredibly beautiful summer days that we get here. Gang, that lasted all night long at the firehouse. And you know what? It felt good. And it made any problem that I was facing at that time a little bit smaller. Thanking God in all circumstances starts with the first step of previous thankfulness. You see, no matter what problem looms on the horizon and no matter what difficulty has come alongside of us, we can be thankful to God for the road behind us. The question for you and me tonight is, have we thanked God for our past? Have we thanked him for all of those little things? They're all him. Right into step two. Step two in learning how to thank God in all circumstances is present thanks. Now, for most of us, when we're going through difficult situations and we're struggling, our eyes are fixed on what is not going right. When we're in those places, we focus exclusively on what we are not getting and what is not working. Some problems are so big and so scary that we can't for the life of us sense that there's anything good around us. We just can't sense that. We don't feel it, don't see it. Don't think there's anything that's right going around us at all, because everything is whirling by at a million miles an hour and you got cows going by like Twister. He said, what do we do? Whenever I'm in that place, or whenever I'm counseling someone who's in that place, I always tell them the same story and the same line from Apollo 13. That incredible Ron Howard movie that just has a way of declaring God's truth without knowing it. Apollo 13 took off heading for the moon. They were to be the third mission to make it to the moon. 11 had been there first, 12 did it, now 13 was going to do it. But along the way, before they got to the moon, you know the story, something exploded in that spaceship, and it went crazy. Back in Mission Control, where it's very interesting, everything on their panels was going nuts. And there was one guy in charge, one guy, Gene Kranz, brilliant. Gene Kranz is unbelievable. He stood there and he started asking, okay, give me status report, status report. And each time he would check in with a different station to be like, I'm down to zero. This can't be right. I'm going down to zero. I'm losing all power. Gene, this can't be right. I'll get back to you. This can't be this. And it just went to each station. Everything was going wrong. Gene, this is broken. This is messed up. This isn't working. And finally, after trying to get the progress reports and really everything just coming in like that, Gene says, hold on, everybody stop. Now, tell me, what do we have that's good? Westbridge Press thanks take place when we stop ourselves wherever we are at and ask, what do I have that's good? For Gene Kranz in Apollo 13 and Mission Control, he still had power. Crazy enough, that thing still had power. They still had three unbelievably, amazingly gifted astronauts. They still had great communications with Houston. Didn't blow that out. They still had oxygen. On and on. Soldiers, if we are to thank God in all circumstances, we need to be able to turn our vision away from what's wrong and focus on what we have that's still good. I have a friend that I've known for decades. He was an investor. I didn't realize that. He had a normal job. He was a fireman. We were all fireman friends. He had a normal job, same job I had. But he invested in stock market, and I guess he knew what he was doing or got lucky or whatever. I don't know. But he had made quite a bit of money and had it all still in the stock market. And then one day it hit. And he told me, he said, I had heard word of it, but then when I finally caught up to him, wanted to know if the rumors were true. He says, Drew, I lost $900,000 in the stock market. $900,000. It happened real quick. He said, I was devastated. He went on to tell me, and it took a while. It took a while for him. But eventually, he said, eventually I stopped. I stopped and I looked at what I had that was still good. He said, I still got my health. I still have my house. I got a wife who's supportive. I have a good job. I even have a pension when I retire. More and more. See, so many times we only look at what we've lost, what we don't have, what we aren't getting that we want. And what we need to do is to look at what's still good. I still got Jesus. I still got God on my side. When we do that in the present, we find we have plenty to thank God for today. The question is, are we looking at what we got that's still good? Have you looked at what is still good? Action step number 3. In learning how to thank God in all circumstances. This is our future thanks. This is where we need to remember, and this is not always easier for us to wrap our hands around, that gang, this, everything, what we're doing right now, this is only a tiny, tiny sliver of our existence. This is tiny. Each and every one of us, each and every one of us are going to live forever. The only question is where you're going to spend that eternity. But we're going to live forever. Therefore, we must always remember to thank God for the future that He has purchased for us on the cross. Thanking God for the future is where we keep in mind that we, one day, those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are going to a celestial city to live forever with the Creator of the universe, where God has you and me living with him as his children. We are called co-heirs alongside Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? Waiting for your inheritance, Jesus standing next to you? Co-heirs. He's like, I know, I did that for you. I have to admit, sometimes I get so focused on the living life to the full here, that John 10:10, my life verse. Sometimes I get so focused on living life to the full here on earth that I forget that this isn't my real home. We are citizens of heaven, and our real payoff will come in the future. There are Christians in the past who this was all they thought about, and this was all the good they looked forward to in their life. Paul wrote this to us in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, first three verses of Colossians 3. He says, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights, get your eyes on, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things in heaven, it tells us. Think about the things in heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. So the last takeaway, I'm not sure I left room for this on your outline. You may have to write this one in. Remember, real life is coming. Real life is coming. Remember, real life is coming. Westbridge, this is how we can be thankful in any situation that comes at us here on earth. God has led us through our past. He's led us through it, and he's been faithful through it all. You're here. He got you through. He's been faithful in our past. We can be thankful in any situation that comes at us here on earth, recognizing that we have so much good surrounding us in the present. And all this life, as incredible as it is, and I love this life more than anything, it's just a taste. It's just a taste of what's coming that's called a glorified life. When our bodies will change, we'll no longer sin. That's what awaits us. That's what awaits all who trust in Jesus Christ's death, burial, resurrection, that he is the Son of God. Friends, all this was made possible. It was all made possible because Jesus Christ, God's Son, came down from heaven and took on himself anything and everything that could separate someone from a relationship with God. He took all that. See, a payment is required to remove all that. A payment is required to remove sin. And Jesus said, let me pay that for you. All that's required, here's the deal, all that's required is that you believe it. You just believe it. Believe that I'm the Son of God. Believe that I came from heaven, that I went to a cross to pay for your sins, that your sins had separated you from God, and that because of what I'm doing for you, you get eternal life in heaven with God forever. To humble yourself, to allow Jesus to do what you and I can't do, and to embrace his gift. So as the band returns, our worship leaders come back, we want to celebrate and remember what Christ did. He's asked us to do this. He wants us to remember what he did by what he set up as the Lord's table. So as the band plays, I want you to think about where you're at with Jesus Christ. You may know about him. You may have heard about him. You may have gone to church. You may even have his picture on the wall in your house somewhere. But you've walked past him. You've walked past that picture over and over and over. You never stopped and looked to the God in heaven and said, I want this. I believe. I believe you have been the Lord of my past. I believe you brought me here. I believe you put me in earshot of what we're talking about tonight. And I believe you want good for me. I've seen you do it for others. I've seen you do it, family members. I've seen you do it, people I know here at this place. I want that. So I'm gonna hand my life to you. I'm gonna give you my heart, Jesus. I'm gonna ask you to come in. Set up your house in my heart. I believe. I believe. If that's your wish, if that's your desire, you simply have to tell him that in your heart. Let me walk you through it. Lord, I pray for each one who's at a place where they have come to the cross, where they see you, they know what you've done, and they want to say yes. Lord, give them the power right now to say, Lord, I have sinned. Lord, I have separated myself from you with the things that I've done. But you're bigger than that. You've overcome all of it. And now you can wash away my sin through the power of your blood, which pays the penalty for my sin. And I'm telling you, I believe. And I want that. And I want you. Make me your child. Co-heirs with Jesus Christ. And put your spirit inside me. In Jesus' name, amen. As the band plays, feel free to come down this center aisle. Come to this side where our two helpers will give you the two elements, the cup and the bread. And then head up that aisle back to your seats. Then we'll take those together. Jesus was very clear about how this whole thing was going to go down. He took bread at that table the last time he would have a meal with his friends. And he took the bread and he ripped it apart. He said, this bread represents my body, which is broken for you. It seems easy for us to be able to believe and have sin wiped away, but what we didn't realize, and what Jesus wanted to make sure that we knew, was that it costs a lot to take away sin. It's not a little thing. Matter of fact, it's overwhelming what it costs to take away sin. But God said, our Savior said, I'll pay that. I'll do that. That would be my body that they break for you. But you know what? You remember it. Don't stop until the day I come back. This bread represents his body broken for you. Let's take it together. They finished. They kept having their meal. Jesus had done that, but they didn't finish. They kept eating. And he talked more. And at the end of the meal, Jesus said, one more thing. He said, this cup, this is representative too. He said, we're going to have a new contract. We're going to have a new deal. I will pay for your sins. You must believe in me. Give your life to me. But that contract can only be written one way. It has to be written with my blood. I have to die. He said, this cup represents that. Do this in remembrance of me. Take the cup together. Would you stand? Lord, we want to thank you. Thank you for what you did on this of holiday where we are to give thanks the first thanks we give is for you. Thank you for what you did for us. Thank you for changing our life. Thank you for all the things we heard about earlier, about being blessed, anointed, healed, called. Thank you for that, Lord. Now I pray that you'd help each of us to do the job you've called us to do. And let's start with thanking you and praising you for who you are. Amen. We have something to be thankful for. Amen. Take it with you this week. Let your light shine. And when they see something indifferent in you, when you go around that dinner table, you tell them about what you're thankful for. Let them know. Well, first and foremost, I'm thankful for Jesus. You changed my life. You changed yours. And I give thanks to him in everything. Now, Lord, keep us strong as we head out into the weekdays. Let the power of your Spirit be what powers us to be brave. To be able to say yes to the things our new heart is telling us to do, and to be brave to say no to the things our old heart's trying to pull us down with. Lord, thank you for these people. Thank you for dying for us. Help us to make a difference with our life. And let this little church be a lighthouse to others. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your company for the last 5 minutes, and we'll see you next week.